Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Henry Hasib, your host here on Critical Issues, when we talk about the issues of today. We like to start with saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we bear witness that there is no God but God, and we bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. Today, we're going to continue with the program that we've been working with, Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. And we're coming closer to the end here now, but there are some interesting things that we really, really need to pay attention to. We're going to get into today the devil or the interview talking about the food source that the human being has here. And I know most of us who came through the Nation of Islam there, you know, we had a dietary. It was important, especially during those times. We definitely put a lot of importance on it. Matter of fact, a book was written, How to Eat to Live, by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that a gave us a lot of great pointers that some of us have really, really gotten away from, but it was good during those times, and we're going to find out from even this interview today that it will be good during these times too. So, assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark. Welcome to the program here. You had any comments before we get started?
Alaikum assalam to you, Brother Henry Haseeb, and to your very astute radio listening audience of AM360 Radio. I want to just say alhamdulillah. The praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, and all. And when you speak about you know, the food, the diet, and all, remember that word diet is it's four letters in the word diet, D-I-E-T. And so over the years, two outstanding acronyms I like to use in terms of for diet, and of course we're talking about the physical diet here, but also we should also understand that we should have a mental and a spiritual diet. And we should be displaying incredibly excellent taste, incredibly excellent taste in our choosing what it is that we consume to maintain a healthy physical, but not only physical, but also emotional, moral, and also spiritual self. And then we look at the word diet in this regard. It should ask the question, do I eat that? And the I in diet is the capital. Do I eat that? And so in the Nation of Islam, there were certain things that we just didn't eat. Pork was forbidden for us to eat, but there was other things that we was told not to eat. So we should ask ourselves, do I eat that? And some of these things that we have eaten over the years since we have left that diet have brought a great harm to us physically. And then even in terms of morally and also spiritually. So do I eat that? Do I consume that? So eating is another way of consuming something that can ultimately alter you physically, mentally, emotionally, and, yes, spiritually. So we want to look at that even though they're going to be speaking on one level. Keep in mind that we're more than just a physical being. I could say a lot more, but I think I said enough. I'll stop there, Brother Henry.
All right, well, we'll get started here, and like you say, we can look at things on all of the different levels that it do, but we're going to be talking basically about this physical level to start with here. But it do carries on. So let's
get started. It does, you know, yeah, and I think that's very, very important because we have seen the decline in physical health, but we're not seeing people emotionally healthy, nor are we seeing people mentally healthy. Mental illness is a big thing today. And Imam Muhammad said most of the problems and issues he had, this is a quote from Imam Muhammad, he said, it is a spiritual, it begins with the spiritual. So we're not even spiritually healthy anymore. But what is it that we're consuming? And we ask ourselves, do I eat that? Do I consume that? Thank you.
All right. Okay, we got to get started.
But these three are the ones which should be conquered first. When a man becomes master of these three appetites, he has developed enough self-discipline to conquer easily those of lesser importance. But these are natural appetites. They must be indulged if one is to be healthy and happy. To be sure, they are natural appetites, but they are also dangerous, because people who have not mastered themselves overfeed the appetites. Self-mastery contemplates sufficient control over the appetites to enable one to feed them what they need and withhold food not needed. Your viewpoint is both interesting and educational. Describe the details through which I may understand how and under what circumstances people overfeed the appetites. Take the desire for physical food, for example. The majority of people are so weak and self-disciplined, they fill their stomachs with combinations of rich food, which please the taste, but overwork the organs of digestion and elimination. They pour into their stomachs both quantity and combinations of food, which the body chemist can dispose of only by converting the food into deadly toxic poisons. These poisons clog and stagnate the body's sewer system until it slows down in its work of elimination of waste matter. After a while, the sewer system stops working altogether, and the victim has what he calls constipation. By that time, he's ready for the hospital. Auto-intoxication, or body sewer poisoning, takes the machinery of the brain and rolls it into something resembling a wad of putty. The victim then becomes sluggish in his physical movements and mentally irritable and fussy. If he could only take one good look at and one bad smell of his sewer system, he would be ashamed to look himself in the face. City sewers are not the pleasantest of places when they become overloaded or clogged, clean and sweet compared with the intestinal sewer when it has been overloaded or clogged. This is not a pretty story to be associated with the pleasant and necessary act of eating, but that is where it belongs, because overeating and wrong food combinations are the evils which cause auto-intoxication. People who eat wisely and keep their body sewers clean handicap me, because a clean body sewer...
All right, Mark, we're going to stop right there for a moment. It says a lot in these two or three minutes here.
Yes.
They're on just the eating, just the basic eating. We were saying where food now, it tastes good going down. I mean, you know, how they make it nowadays, even the eyes, you know, you eat with your eyes before you eat, and they make it look so good. But the benefit of it is doing so much damage to the human, to the human body. And not only his body, as you say, to his mind, and this is what he's beginning to get into, the sluggishness of the brain and all of that when you eat these wrong foods.
And you know, Brother Henry, alhamdulillah, you're right on point, because he did mention how it make you feel sluggish and even mentally. We have to understand that when we talk about the, as Imam Muhammad has given us, the alameen, the systems of knowledge, the human body is a system of knowledge. He mentioned two things. It shouldn't go over our head. He mentioned the digestive system, and he didn't call it the excretory system, but we have an excretory system. So that means that everything that we take in food-wise, we are not to keep. There is elimination. The excretory system is the elimination system. And, of course, he so eloquently articulated as the sewer system that you have to keep the sewer system actually clean. And if that doesn't happen, it builds toxins and everything inside the body. So whenever we, as he said, by not having the discipline, two things, overeating and wrong combination of food. Overeating and the wrong combination of food. So actually the process begins in terms of what it is that we eat, the mastication of the food, mastication in terms of the digestion, and sometimes people just gobble food up. You know, I don't know if you remember back years ago when we was in school in the health classes, it said you should chew your food so many times. And Allah has given the saliva and all of that in terms of helping with the digestion of the food. But you can actually have a wrong combination of food and an overeating. Now, when the food gets in the body, it also summons the circulatory system. The circulatory system is the blood system. So when you overeat, that's why you get the mental sluggishness. I didn't realize that until years ago you know, especially, you know, when you have a holiday like Thanksgiving and you say, oh, mm-hmm. I'm stuffed, all I want to do is just go to sleep. But what happens is that the heart pumps blood to all parts of the body, from the head all the way down to the feet. But when you overeat from lack of discipline, the blood that generally would be going to the brain to help to stimulate the brain to stay active and everything, and you mentally alert, it has to go and help with the digestion of the excessive amount of food that you put into your system. I'm hoping this is making some sense, because the way Allah has designed us as human beings, there are systems that we learn in school. Well, we have to attribute these systems to Almighty God, Allah, and each one has a very distinct function. And when we tax the digestive system, we also are going to be taxing the circulatory system, the blood system, mm-hmm. that actually takes oxygen to different parts of the mm-hmm. body. So now we deprive the brain of oxygen that it generally would get if we ate sensibly and reasonably in that mm-hmm. regard. And because there is a surplus of food, it can't process or digest all of that food. So now it compromises the excretory system. That's the system of elimination. But there also is a bigger message there, Brother Henry, and it shows mm-hmm. us that everything that it is that we would take in, that this is on a physical level. So now I'm hoping that mm-hmm. we get that. I think this is very elementary that we get that when we don't exercise discipline. But look at the time when we fast Siyam and the month of Ramadan. We have to be careful what it is that we are taking in. And so now we are consciously alert that we're not going to be taking in a whole lot of things, that we watch what it is that we consume with our five senses, what it is that we're looking at, what it is that we're listening to, what it is that the sense of spirit in terms of having a discretionary spirit, what it is that we're tasting or experiencing in life. You see, so the discipline is heightened in the month of Ramadan. So that, mm-hmm. and Allah tells us, so that you may learn self-discipline, so that you may learn self-restraint, so it becomes a prescription that Almighty God, Allah, has given to us as He gave that to those before us. I could say a lot more, but I think I said enough. Yes. I'm going to stop there. How right. important it is
and
to
Mark,
be disciplined.
You are breaking up a little bit. It just started there. You were clear there. But we're going to go on a little bit further. But those are some very, very important points that we have to reflect on. But let's go a little bit further, and then we'll get into it a little more.
Really means a sound body and a brain that functions properly. Imagine if your imagination can be stretched that far. How any human being could move with definiteness of purpose with his body sewer filled with enough poison to kill 100 people if it were injected into their bloodstream directly.
Here again, Napoleon Hill is far ahead of his time. Science eventually caught up with Hill and even surpassed his intuition about physical processes and how they link to mental and emotional health.
And all this trouble is the result of lack of control over the physical appetite for food. Well, if you wish to be absolutely correct, you should say that improper eating is responsible for the majority of the ills of the body, and practically all headaches. If you want proof of this, select 100 people suffering with headaches and give each of them a thorough washing out of their body sewer systems with a high enema. And observe that no fewer than 95 of the headaches will disappear within a few minutes after the sewers have been cleaned. From all you say about the intestinal tract, I gather the impression that mastery over the physical appetite for food means also mastery over the habit of neglecting to keep the intestines clean. Yes, that is true. It is just as important to eliminate the waste matter of the body and the unused portions of food as it is to take the right amount and the correct combinations of food. I never thought of auto-intoxication as being one of your devices of control over people. And...
All right, Mark, I think we need to stop right there. It's a lot that's been said there, so we definitely need to talk about it.
Yeah.
You got any comments?
Yes, the last thing you said, auto-intoxication, whereas that we are actually, we think of intoxicants. Most of us, if you say intoxication, we think of liquor, you know, as an intoxicant, and it is an intoxicant. But food can be an intoxicant. And it becomes really an intoxicant, you know, Brother Henry, and to our radio listening audience, when it becomes an addiction. And when you have an addiction, people need to realize that something that is natural for us, when it's done in extreme and done out of control with no discipline in terms of something that is a natural urge in us to sustain and maintain physical health, but done in the extreme, actually it can become an addiction and a toxin is created thus because we are not disciplined in what it is we eat, how much we eat, the combination of the things, and as you just said just a few minutes ago, taste. And then this brings me to the Quran in regards to this. Allah says in regards to the shaitan, he creates a false desire in you. He creates a false desire in you. So now we're talking about here exclusively in terms of food. So we could say the shaitan desire is equivalent to appetite. So it is the shaitan, it is the devil that creates a false appetite. And he appeals to the sense of taste, to taste. And this helps to, not trying to be poetic, but more a waste in your system because what it is that you like in terms of the taste of it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be healthy for you, you see, because it's difficult in the digestive system, but it helps to build up those toxicants that he's calling a sewer system, you know, where you keep, if you own property, generally speaking, you get what is called a sewer bill because all the waste coming from people in that neighborhood or in that community, you understand, it has to keep that clean. If you ever smell the sewer before, it's a foul, foul smell. I know my brother was saying that he had some landscaping, and I think inadvertently his sewer system they weren't conscious. They covered it up. And so finally when he got like people out there, when they found out that it was a foul smell because that's where waste has to go. So it has to be kept. And if you ever smell a sewer system, anybody out there ever smell a sewer system, it didn't smell bad, you see.
Well,
so
Mark,
he's using that analogy in terms of for us too. So we must keep that clean and everything and know that even though food is a natural thing to sustain and maintain us physically, that you can't do it in the extreme because you tax all those systems, the circulatory system, which is supposed to take that blood all throughout the body and take oxygen to keep it alive, you see. And also we want to look at the excretory system because everything you take in, you're not supposed to keep. But that's a sign because Allah says there's a sign in the natural creation, but there are signs in you. That means that everything that you see, you're not supposed to eat. You remember, Brother Henry, when we was young, you ever hear that saying, don't let your eyes be bigger than your stomach?
Right.
That means everything.
And today, I think that's a big problem. Our eyes are much bigger than our stomach. Because we force stuff, or like you say, we stuff ourselves here. Because, and then on top of stuffing ourselves, we're eating the wrong food there, you know. And
there
we've been talking about years, especially as Muslims, because of the pork and the damage that it does, and I'm sure this is one of the reasons that Allah forbids it, there out of all the animals that exist. But he says stay away from that because it does so much damage to the human being. And I've heard people say, and I said this before, how people say, I just love that pork. I just love those knuckles. And one guy I was listening to telling another guy, he says, I love those knuckles, but the last time I ate them, they sent me straight to the hospital. Now, why would you want to ever go back to that again? But we do, and we think we can outwit this devil in doing it, doing our own body. And Mark, if you want, you said we're talking about the sewer system. If you want to look at the human sewer system, you go into some of these public restrooms, especially the ones that's not really kept up like they should be. It's worse than a sewer system, and I bear witness, just like the devil is saying, the sewer system is a sweet smell compared to some of these things that come out of the human being. So it's, you know, it's there, and because we keep stuff and we don't pay attention to ourselves. If we eat,
that's right,
then we should desiccate. But if two or three days of eating and you hadn't, then that food began to decay, as some say, rot. Yeah, and if it's not flush, you're gonna have problems.
you're gonna have some big problems where intoxication actually can happen in the body just in based on the food that you take in. And one thing about this animal that we talk about, the pig or the hog, that generally would eat it all, this is a sign because we're looking at an animal that doesn't have any discretion or use it discretion in what it eats. It eats generally on there any and everything. It would even, if it doesn't get any type of food or what, it would even eat its own litter. My grandfather was down in Mississippi. They had a farm and everything. And he referred to, just like the minister at that time when I came in 1967, they used to slop the hogs. And the minister, I never forget, he said, if a rattlesnake would bite a hog, it wouldn't affect him, the venom that come from him. And he said, because the hog don't have a vein. I couldn't wait to get over to my grandparents' house to ask him that question. He said, don't say where you got it from, just ask the question. Actually, I was speaking to my grandmother in the bedroom. However, my grandfather was there. And I was saying, my dear, I said, you know, hey, when y'all was on the farm there in Mississippi, did you have pigs, hogs? She said, yeah. She was telling me that they also had a goat and they had cows and chickens. I wasn't interested in that. So I said, let me ask you a question. What if a rattlesnake would bite a hog? Now, I was speaking to my grandmother, but my grandfather was there. He said, hell, did you say a rattlesnake? I said, yeah. And he said, well, hell, if anybody would get sick or probably die, it might be the rattlesnake. Whoa. The rattlesnake is poison, Daddy. Yeah, he said, yeah, I know that. But he said, you can't poison the hog because he doesn't have a vein, you see. And he said, we used to slop hogs. He said, matter of fact, we used to throw a little lie in the trough when they slopped the hogs. And he said, you know, lie would kill you, but they put lie in there to help clean out some of the filth of the hog. So when it says there's a sign in thing, Allah is telling us that we shouldn't just eat any and everything, and especially that which will consume and eat and everything. That is, the word is kanzir. You learn kanzir. Oh, I see it to be foul. I'll stop there. I know it's my time.
And I know, Mark, too, just on that, a thing that come to mind is in the country they used to have what they call a slop jaws that they didn't have inside bathrooms.
So you had to use the
bathroom at night. You had a little bucket. And that bucket in the country, you take it out and you would, because you didn't want to just throw it over the yard, there you put it in the hog pen. You had hogs. So they had that word, but then the problem was they turned around and ate the hog. You're right. It's still a nasty animal for eating. It is not made for the human consumption. So you're right. We're going to stop and take a break right here, and then we'll be right back on the other side of this break. And if our audience do have any questions or comments, then you're welcome to chime in by pressing 1 on your phone. We'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Alice Lyman Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you, Tanya.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
All right, we are back here where we've been talking about how to outwit this devil.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, Mark, and you always mention that this interview was done in 1938, and now we are in 2024, and it looked like it was done yesterday because the effects of the advice that's being given is more needed today than I believe it was in 1938. So it is definitely something we need to pay attention to.
Yeah, you know something, Elijah, before you go back again, something, Elijah Muhammad, as you recall, you were in the Nation of Islam, so was I, and probably some of our listening audience was in the Nation. We used to say in the first experience that you are what you eat, that you are what you eat, you know, and it has an effect on you. Most all of the illness that we have today, like you say, in 2024, is what the foods that we're consuming, including the hog, in that regard. You know, and Minister Malcolm, he used to say back in the day that you eat him from the rooter to the tutor. You know, and we're talking about the pig snoots, the rooter, and the pig tail. I wasn't born to Muslim parents, obviously, and so that was generally on the menu each and every day. And of course, when you were a child, you eat what is being prepared. There was usually a ball. Food meals we was talking earlier that was put on the table every day, the greens, the cabbage, the beans, the various types of beans throughout the week. That was good, but the meat that was put in it was not good. And you speak about the headaches Napoleon Hill was talking about. I can bear witness to that because I was getting a headache every day. Truthfully, getting a headache every day. But as a child, I was eating pork, for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. This is the truth, and I bear witness to that. And they couldn't figure it out, you know, in terms of that. And that's another thing, too, that we should be conscious of in drinking enough water to help to flush the system out, to keep the system clean. The lack of doing that actually helps to produce these headaches. But the food that I was eating was loaded with pork. I mean, and then it was only when I came into the knowledge of how deadly this animal was, how detrimental it was to our physical health, but it also affects us mentally, mentally. And I saw that not only my headaches stopped, but I became sharper mentally. This is why we need to understand that these systems that Allah give to us, that we study, all of us study this in school, in science, and everything, and it seems like we have forgot these systems that Allah has given to us, they interact with each other. If you violate one, then you violate the other systems also, and it produces bad health. I just wanted to just say that to bear witness to the fact that a bad diet produces bad health. So we really have to ask ourselves, do I eat that? And, of course, the doctors, the way they make their money, they make their money when you are sick and when you are ignorant. Remember, this is one of the tools of the devil. He said that. He said that in one of the previous sayings that we played, you know, he only can be influential when he keeps you ignorant, when you're ignorant. You see, not knowing and not definiteness of purpose or having accurate knowledge of things. So that's very, very important. You know, once, as Malcolm said, once a man, he said man, but we can change that to human. Once a human knows better, then they must do better. So once I learned that pork was not good for you, it wasn't no weaning period for me. I gave it up cold turkey. I gave it up cold turkey. And I am not ashamed to say I had just began to like barbecue pig snoots. And I gave it up cold turkey. I know everybody laughing, but some of you out there, if you wasn't born Muslim and everything, you ate exactly what your parents or what your family actually consumed because you didn't know better. But just remember what Malcolm used to say, when a man, or what we want to change that, when a human gets to know better, then they should do better. And I did. There was no deliberation on my part. When I got that confirmation from my grandparents in regards to that, Allah is my witness, I never ate any more pork again. I stopped there.
Alhamdulillah. That's just one of the worst things that we got. We do have a caller in the queue, and we're going to bring them in. We got area code 706-627. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, I said I'm Alaikum's brother, Muhammad, from the... Good to hear y'all this morning, and that spirit coming out of you, and we thank Allah much that we all are receiving his inspiration to keep us alive. And one of the things, like what you just said, one of the schemes of the Shaitan is that when he talking about he would teach us when we ignorant, knowing in our situation anyway. We can't speak for everybody else, but we know that in a period of our life, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad by Allah's permission told us, can you fool a Muslim nowadays? He said, no. Not no more.
So not nowadays.
Not nowadays. Shaitan come back with that counterpoint by talking about he can only teach you something when you ignorant. We ain't never been ignorant. Thank Allah much. Those of us in this last 100 years of reality, of change on the world has ever seen since the revealing of the Quran. And they thank us much for that. But they're waiting on us to start and break ground on establishing this model community of intelligence that Allah has placed upon this planet to guide everybody back normal creation in this world and a great reward when they get back to being Khalifa in the world afterwards. But we pray a lot that we ain't ignorant, and we need to get y'all know that from the jump to, and let any human being on this earth know that when we're dying, you don't know no more than the believer do. And the believer can be anybody when they come above that color stuff, when they come above that nationality stuff, and realize that they are back to being the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has no earthly tie, no tie. It's just out there. We here.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. Let me say something that I was blessed to be with, part of the security the last 5 or 6 years for our beloved teacher and leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. The late Paul Simon, who was a senator for Illinois years ago, he invited all the top religious leaders in this country as a retreat. And I remember the first day the imam was late getting there with his trusted companion, Rafi, and we were already there, security. We was already there waiting on the imam. And it was on a Friday. I never forget. And the last question that was asked to all of these clergymen, now listen very carefully how the imam answered this question. He asked the question, what is the greatest enemy, to humanity? Please take note. These other clergymen, they were giving long answers. I remember a Presbyterian minister, he took about 10 to 12 minutes to answer that question. The imam was the last person to answer the question. And he answered the question in one sentence. This is what Imam Muhammad said. He said, the greatest enemy to humanity that always has been and still is ignorance. And he didn't say no more. Now, why am I saying this? Because if you look here in the book and what Napoleon Hill is getting as a confession from the devil himself and part of his scheme is to keep you ignorant when you don't know. And when everything has been taken and was stripped from our people where they didn't know their roots, sound familiar, their roots and everything, we saw a personality by the name of Kunta Kinte. What goes over most people's head that was when it was aired back in the early 70s, and they didn't really see and realize it, Kunta Kinte was a Muslim. And whenever they would give him something, he would smell it. And in one scene, it shows him where I guess it was bean, and they put salt pork or something in, and he took it out and threw it away, and he just ate the rest of the food, you see, in that regard. But this is very, very important for us to know that the Imam, W.D. Muhammad, said the greatest enemy to us is ignorance. It's ignorance. This means that not knowing, and there's two types of ignorance. There's one is an innocent ignorance that we see by way of the Quran, Surah 16, chapter 16, ayah 78 in the Quran, where Allah says, it is He, Allah, who brings you forth from the wombs of your mother when you knew nothing. But it is He also who gives you hearing and gives you sight and gives you intelligence and gives you affection and sensitivity that you may give thanks. That's an innocent ignorance that you don't know. Ignorance simply means a lack of knowledge or you don't know. That is innocent ignorance. But also the word, the other type of ignorance, it has in that how we stay ignorant. And it has the root word, which is ignore. Ignore is in the word ignorance. That's the ignorance that Imam Muhammad is talking about. You understand? And that falls into the scheme of the shaitan, of the devil, to keep you ignorant, to keep you ignoring the truth that it was that says the prophet Isa, alayhi salam, said that will set us free. So let's not continue to fall into that trap. Let's accept al-haq, the truth, the reality that Allah has given us in this beautiful way of life that is called al-Islam, in which He has perfected the life, and He has preferred this for us. I'll stop there.
Yes. Yes, Mark, as you were talking, I was just reflecting on some of the stuff, you know, that we've covered education and how the education system, how the devil say in his interview, how it is supposed to educate, and we know educate means to bring out of that's naturally
right.
in the human being, but it's actually designed to make us more ignorant. And if you look at the society today, you can see that. But the thing that what I'm connecting now is that here the food that we are eating is also playing a part in keeping us ignorant. So that's the reason
right.
why I can see a young child, and I have some young grandchildren that's going to school, how excited they are about going to school. And then you're going to
yeah.
wonder why by the time they get in middle school and high school there that you got to force them to go to school. The same children that were so excited about it, and a lot of times, even today, they're not graduating. You know, if you look at the fallout rate of there, and you would be thinking, look like you would really want to be educated, but something... And I can see food as being an aid to the other age of what they're supposed to do or how they're teaching them being a part of this plot for this devil. And he says he's showing us how he used it. So I just wanted to add that. Let's see, can we get a little bit more and see, can I finish this up today, this part with that, because it's another whopper that's coming after this.
I'm utterly shocked to know how many people are victims of this subtle enemy. Let's hear what you have to say of the other two appetites. Well, take the desire for sex expression. Now there is a force with which I master the weak and the strong, the old and the young, the ignorant and the wise. In fact, I master all.
We're gonna save that one for next week, because that's another big problem that we see here in America. There. So I see we're at the end of that food. But you have any other comments, Mark? Any of our listening audience, if you have a comment, a question, do press 1 on your phone, because these things we just want to take our time with them. To make sure that we get a good understanding of what's going on. And we do have a couple of calls here, Mark, so I'm going to bring them in, and then we'll come back to your comments.
Okay,
we have area code 810-936. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
James Abdullah, calling from Flint, Michigan.
Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum,
Brother Abdullah. Welcome.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, sir. I would just like to say that in the Al-Fatiha, we asked Allah to show us the straight way,
mm-hmm.
the way of those on whom he has bestowed his grace, not of those who go astray, incurs his wrath. And the Muslim... diet, halal, the law of halal, it means that just because it's good, you know, we can't have it because it's good, it tastes good. It has to be lawful and good. And when you study in the halal process for the Muslim, in the Muslim community, for the Muslim, that means that even the pig, if it tastes good, you can't take it just because it tastes good. That's with anything, or it looked good. It has to be lawful and good. So I just thought maybe I'd bring that point up also. That's the difference between other religions that I find between other religions and Islam guides you to the straight way. It makes it clear, you know, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. So I'll stop there. That's a lot of naked.
Right. Well, you're definitely right. And a lot of people don't. That's why I say the common sense is being bled out. A lot of people don't use that kind of logic. I have to go to the extreme sometime with them. I say, well, look here, having money is good, but robbing the bank to get it is not good. So to try to make them think, because it looks like this thinking process is another issue that we got, and we saw that in the education there, how we being educated. But you're right, those are good points there.
I like that, Brother Henry. I might have to use that.
Yeah.
You know,
we're gonna bring our brother Muhammad.
He has an old saying
we're
about
bring
money.
Our brother Muhammad back. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Go right
yeah.
here, Mark.
No,
I'm gonna bring
to
Muhammad
real...
back in, but go ahead and make your comment.
Yeah, this is real quick. It said it's an old saying about money. It can be a good servant, but it always makes a bad master.
It can be
a good servant, but it always makes a bad master. My grandmother used to always say to us in terms of words of wisdom, remember, you make money. Don't let money make you. Let's go to Brother Mike.
As a matter of fact, as a master, it is such a bad master that in some circles they say it's the root of all evil. And they were going that. But
yeah.
I do know what you're talking about. When you take it out of its place, you got a problem.
Right.
Brother Muhammad, we got you back on. As-salamu
alaykum. Yes. Well, like my son, I just want to say what you were talking about, how our children, you know, at one time were rushing to get to school and everything like that. And then when they get into certain age, they go to kind of being shy or rebelling and don't want to go. See, we forget that the first 2-5 years of their life, they was getting out Islam from us. In application, demonstration, all they was excited because they thought they were going to meet more of what Allah has to offer them of this world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they got to school, they started seeing that they was being seduced and going against the spirit that they had from wanting to know more about Allah, more about prayer, because most of them will be praying by the time they get in fourth grade, in preschool and all. They're excited. But see, we have forgotten that denying building our school where they can continue to learn about Allah in the world, how Allah created everything that they're going to run into, has made them lose their spirit. And we haven't spent the time on the reality of that, because every nickel we got, we need to be going back and establishing Islamic schools, not for just our children, but for the world, because our children will go and tell them about what they learned in school today. And they will tell their junior high peer group, what school you go to? Well, I go to Islamic school. I go to whatever school we had a name, you know. And they'll make the other kids tell their parents, you know what, if I got a choice, I'd like to go to this Islamic school. You know, I like to go over there because the tell me about blah, blah, blah. It's very important that we understand and start putting this puzzle back together until we spend our money and restoring the opportunity for all children to be happy from 2 till they graduated and they're ready to meet the world with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I agree with you, as they say, 1,000% on that. But when I look at our community, I think we have fallen down in that area of what you're saying that is so important for us to do. We should be making every sacrifice we can to educate, whether we got physical children in those schools there, we should be supporting that and coming up as we did. And we saw the results. Matter of fact, we're still talking about the results of our children going through the University of Islam and Sister Clara Muhammad School and W.D. Muhammad School. We see what it produced, and yet we have fallen victim and not willing to make the sacrifice to keep that going so we can make a better society, a better community, and a better world, the world that Allah has got. So I agree with you 1,000% on that, brother. We can't say that enough. All right, we have another caller, Mark. Let me squeeze them in, and then we'll get your final comments here before we conclude. We have area code 914. 434. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, it's Muhammad Sharif calling out from New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Muhammad Sharif.
Y'all just hit on the subject that we should. Man, education.
That's right.
We should, like you say, we should put every much money we can into the Clarendon school system.
That's
Islamic
right.
education.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's wrong with us. How can you think your children going to remain Muslim if you send them to a non-Islamic school?
That's right.
Something's
right.
gone wrong in our thinking.
So we have not learned how to outwit this devil yet, because the devil is giving it to us plainly. He's giving it to us here, and we got the I consider the best book to keep us in line or in check with what we should do. All of this can be checked by the Quran, and as we do there, but we even need more of that to see how this devil is trying to destroy us as a human being, and how the Quran is giving us life. So we need to do that, and that should be the push. We take the emphasis off of things, and people tend to just let it go, you know. That's why we have to have not just leaders to blame, have one person, but we have to have leadership. And it shows you there that we are lacking in those areas there. And I know that's a whole other subject there that we could talk about. But I appreciate that, Muhammad, to do. We got about 3 minutes left, Mark, and we're going to give you
Well, you know it's going to be coming up in the next program. Don't forget to keep it on for Adam coming on next.
Oh, yes. And we need to talk more about the education, because he got a 50 by 100, but we actually need, and that's a small amount. That's a cup of coffee. You know, coffee costs more than that. So if you drink a cup a day, you could be supporting an Islamic school. And even if you don't drink coffee, because even the senior coffee that I try to get is all would take care of that, what we're talking about donating in a month. And if we had more Muslims doing it, then our schools could survive. But we into these traps of the devil. So that's another subject, but stay tuned for Adam. I'm sure he will definitely maybe mention that, inshallah. Thank you for the call, brother. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
We got about 2 minutes left for Mark.
Yeah. So very quickly, I want to agree with Muhammad Sharif, and I want to just salute him. You know, ever since I have known him, he's always been an advocate. And it can't just become a cliche. You know, a cliche is just say education is our number one priority. Imam Muhammad said it. And if we follow the leader, then it becomes our number one priority. It was a number one priority for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It was a number one priority for Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the first revelation that came from Allah to Prophet Muhammad was in terms of education. So I'm like Brother Muhammad, what's wrong with us? I'm on the Sister Clara Muhammad School Committee here. We're committed. We got a big fundraiser coming up this Saturday to raise funds. And always, that's my, ask me what my number one charity is Sister Clara Muhammad School. We're trying to reestablish our school here, and we should be supportive. If you don't have a committee there for your school, weekend school, you should be supporting Clara Muhammad School somewhere, somehow, giving something in regards to that. So, alhamdulillah. So I just want to say that, and then the discipline that we got to have in terms of our diet, let's watch that. Ask yourself, do I eat that? Because it's going to affect our health physically, morally, emotionally, and also spiritually. Do I eat that? And oftentimes we shouldn't consume it. I'll stop there. Thank you, Brother Henry.
All right, and we will see you next week for another edition of Critical Issues that's so critical to our lives. So stay tuned for our brother Adam Dia. As-salamu alaykum.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Adam B.I. here on Money Sense on AM360 on this Thursday morning, September the 12th. I want to welcome everybody to our program today, and I'm glad you remained online after the previous program with Brother Henry Hasib and Brother Mark Shahid. And hope you enjoyed, always enjoy listening to them, even though I've only catched the last end, if I'm not tuning in all the time, because I'm trying to prepare for my program. But I did catch some good stuff, and I want to thank our Brother Muhammad Sharif for mentioning the 150 initiative that's been going strong since April 2016 was the first month that we participated and start supporting Kerr Muhammad Schools. And I do agree, education is our number one priority. Imam Muhammad said it, and countless imams and others have been saying it since the imam said it. And so I do thank all of you, those of you that are members of 150, thank you for participating. And those that are not members of 150, I would like to invite you to join into the effort. We support Kerr Muhammad Schools and Muhammad Schools that are full-time around the country. I think we're down to about 5 or 6 right now. And Brother Mark, if you're listening, when you get ready to in your town, you get ready to open up your school full time, just know that we'll add you to our rotation, and maybe twice a year you'll receive rotation. I just got the report in from Muhammad Schools in Atlanta. July was the month that we supported them, and they received for July about $2,850, I think, in that regard. So donations run anywhere from, let's say, $3,000 to $3,500. And we rotate the money to the schools. It's $50 a month. And we ask that everybody support school, whether it's your school or whether you have a full-time school or not. We pray that you do establish a full-time school with that. All right, I'm going to get into my program in a minute, but I see Mark has his hand. Mark, you got your hands up, brother?
Oh, yeah. No, I was trying to get out of the queue, and yes, I did receive it. Yes, sir. So thank you so much. And we're working on it. It's a process, as you well know. So thank you so much, brother. And the work that you've been doing for the last 8-9 years in regards to that. So we, inshallah, we'll get there. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, inshallah. We're looking at salam. Thank you, brother. We're pulling for you. We need schools, as you said in your program, we need schools all over the country. It's not a matter of do we need them all over. especially it's becoming obviously evident now in this environment that we're in, that it's so divisive and things of that nature. We need it now. So definitely let us know. All right. I want to officially open up my program. I say I want to recite from the Quran. Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is the fifth surah of the Quran, the eighth ayat. Oh, the blessing of the shaitan, the regime. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawamina lillahi shuhada'a bil qist. ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم ألا تعدلوا واعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله كبير بما تعملون صدق الله العظيم. In the translation, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. O ye who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses to fair dealing. And let not the hatred of others to you make you swerve to wrong and depart from justice. Be just, that is next to piety, and fear Allah, for Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. Sadaqa Allahu Azeem, Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. Alhamdulillah. Last week we played a tape by Imam W. Muhammad. I want to thank you for bearing with it. I had a family emergency. My brother was admitted to the hospital, and I was dealing with that. So I asked all of you to say a dua for my brother. He's still alive, you know, but just say a dua for him. I appreciate that. Alhamdulillah. But I was going to talk last week, continuation of a discussion we had the week prior to that, which was reparations and its implications to African Americans. And it seemed to be a lot of callers. We had to end the call and couldn't get to all the callers. I figure it's probably still an important topic. Has a lot of interest in it. And also we know that there's another topic in the media today, because on Tuesday, you know, we had the debate, if you want to call it that. I think the call of the debate is overstretched. But anyway, everybody's talking about the debate, and I'm going to resist that because my good friend and brother, Imam Yusuf Ramadan, his topic today is unpacking the debate. So I want to keep that discussion, because I know he's going to talk about it. And so if you want to, for those of you who are just want to talk about this debate, continue listening this hour. And then the next hour, hang in there, and Imam Yusuf Ramadan will talk about unpacking the debate. And I'm sure it's going to be a lot of interesting things coming out of that, one way or another. So we're going to reserve that for his show. But I do want to get back to reparations, because I've heard a lot of, you know, if you listen to the show, if you want the show 2 weeks ago. There was a lot of perspectives and a lot of opinions about reparations, whether we should get it or whether we should not get it and that type of thing. So we're going to discuss that again. So for those of you that might have been holding on and didn't get a chance to make your point, this would be a time that you can do that. Just, you know, again, raise your hand and get in the queue. I do see a hand up right now, but it's someone that had their hand up from the previous program. So maybe they forgot. So if you're in the queue, just press 1 and get out the queue. And then if you want to discuss something that we're talking about, you can raise your hand again. But I'm not going to answer it because I know that you would probably forget to take your hand down from the previous program. We were talking about error code 810. Just press 1 to get out of the queue, and then we'll come back. And you can raise your hand again if you do want to say something. All right? So reparations, you know, just for a sense of what it is. Because I think it's important. So the official definition, an official, I'm going to say the official because there's more than one answer to it, an official definition of reparations, which I think is pretty decent. But it refers to the act of making amends for a wrong that has been done, often through compensation or restitution. In the context of social justice, reparations are typically discussed in relation to historical injustices, such as slavery or colonialism, where it involves compensating the descendants of affected groups for the injustices they suffered. This can take various forms, including financial payments, land grants, or other forms of support aimed at addressing the lasting impacts of those injustices. So that's the official, an official definition of reparations. I think it might have been last week. Someone made a comment that our law will pay us our reparations. Based on the definition that we read, why does Allah have to make amends for a wrong done to us that he didn't do? So you can't use reparations in that scenario. Allah didn't do the wrong. The Caucasian did the wrong. So why should Allah have to pay us reparations? Now, you know who will be the main one agreeing with that? The main one that would agree with that would be who? The descendants of the people that wronged us. They're back in the background cheering. Yeah, God will restore what we took from you. Or God will make good what we did for you. No. I wouldn't call that reparations. I call that Allah's mercy. And what they took from us, Allah gave it to us when he created us. And really, no one can actually take it away. They can only disconnect our consciousness from what Allah created in us. That's the most that they can do. All right, just on that opening, I guess I said something. I got two people got their hands up. Because I do want this to be interactive in the program, so I don't want to just capitalize all the time necessarily. So let's go to the phone lines and see already what I might have said or what your thoughts might be on what we said. Okay, the phone lines, let's go to 727-408. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. When I heard you talking, and I say, well, Adam talking about me, and it came to my mind also, I said, well, okay, then, I said, be better mercy. And so, and then you say mercy, so praise be to Allah that we're on the same accord with that. So, alhamdulillah. That's good, brother. Mercy is better. So praise be to Allah. Thank you, brother Adam. As-salamu alaykum.
Brother Bilal.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I wasn't talking about you. Only if
that was me though. But no, I'm saying, but it was me though.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, it was me. That's what I'm saying.
I don't remember who said it. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay, brother.
I said it. I earned that. I created it. Thank you, brother. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum, everybody. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Oh, okay, let's go to another call. Let's go to the phone lines. I guess I might have said something about this brother, too. You want to beat me up, brother? As-salamu alaykum, area code 251-404.
I said I want to agree with you. I don't know what you saying. But I wanted to just, common sense is really being bled out. You can kind of see that in society. Now, because you got a lot of our people saying that about this reparation thing, too. We come up on both sides of the fence, too, on it. And it's really, you know, it's hard to understand sometimes, but I give them the analogies. I say, now I'm driving down the street. Unintentionally, I hit your car and I cause some damage to your car. Are you going to say that, hey, well, God is going to fix it for you? No, if I don't pay you, if I don't have insurance, you're going to take me to court. And chances are, if I was in the wrong and hitting your car, I'm going to be found guilty and have to pay you damages for hitting your car. They can see that, but you can't see 400 years of that you should get damages. That is just that you get it. Now, I would say, hey, I'm not going to sit down and do nothing waiting on reparation or any kind of thing or even waiting on me to fix your car. If your car has got to be fixed and I don't fix it, you going to go ahead and fix it yourself. But that still don't relieve me of the liability that I'm responsible for the damage that I did to your car. So that's and they see it. They can see that. Now, I don't think nobody have any problem with that. But when it comes to us, we sometimes have problem with us, and I don't understand it. You say, well, where the common sense at? But that's what we have to deal with. So I just wanted to make that comment. Yes, sir.
Yes, Brother Henry, if the federal government gonna give every African American, or even if they qualify, we're gonna give every foundational black that argument, well, we don't need reparations. I'd like to see them send the $10,000 back. How many of them are gonna send the $10,000? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If they send the money back, I say they truly believe that.
They're not going to send it back. And I mean, the biggest opponent of it wouldn't send it back. That's the thing. The biggest opponent, the one who preached the hardest, would probably be the first one to run down and cash the check.
And that's what's so sad. The federal government, he got three or four other family members that need the money, too. So...
Yes, you're right.
All right, brother. You're right, man.
All right.
We something else. Okay, bro. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum. All right. Go to the phone lines again. We got another caller, error code 706-627. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah, Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Hinesville, Georgia. First of all, Allah, like you said in the beginning, the mercy. We all are still kind of, inshallah, don't know how to use it because of the control of our anger. That goes for the slave master and the people he put such a terrible injustice to. Because now we also have to remember that we're not the only ones who were enslaved at the time. We get the ones who got treated the way Shaitan wanted to treat us for whatever reason, but Allah is the best of planet. So when we got our freedom, just like James Brown used to say, I don't need nobody to give me nothing, open the door, I get it myself, that's one way we could take it. The other one is that if it does not bother these people who have an opportunity to make reparation, and they choose not to do it, that's Allah's mercy to them. But we supposed to just leave them alone and move and stay on our destiny, you know, because we can do it our own self. We've had a lot of land come back to us. A lot of people got land left to them. We had, and we still have the opportunity to get off underneath of this type of mentality of the Shaitan that's in our brothers and sisters, human beings, and spend more time on establishing a way of life that only has room to make sure that doesn't happen again, and even if we have to fight. And that's what we need to be concentrating on, how to establish this model community called Al-Islam by Allah's favor to everybody involved. Because even our slave masters might be the same one. Their children might embrace Al-Islam down the road as a way of giving reparation according to their understanding that Allah letting them have. But bottom line, at least we're still on our goal. We're establishing our Islamic reality, our Muslim reality, and on our way, inshallah, to being Khalifa, even if it means on this reality here where we at. We are to take care of all the injustice that's been done to the earth, to the air, to whatever, and most of all, to us by depending upon Allah more and not trusting nobody else or no other logic rationale from other human beings who could be under
Muhammad,
the influence.
I got a question. Why can't we do both?
That's what I just said. We got to do
why
both.
You said.
Let me see,
we can do both. We can fight to get reparations, and we still can do, like James Brown said, open the door, get it myself. The problem is the door has been open, and we're not getting it out there. That's the problem.
We shut the door out of anger and put stipulations I was going to take a second if you let me do it. Say what I'm saying.
Go ahead, bro.
And see, we forgot about the mercy already. Allah gave a white man, using that terminology, the mercy by putting him in a situation where he had to let us go. He also put us in the same situation and say, now you go on and get your rightfully share of this dunya and develop. Be patient, be tolerant. If they want to help you, all praise are due to, like Allah said, to myself. I'm the creator of this. I'm giving the opportunity for y'all to reach balance somewhere down the line if you want it. But if not, you who are my servants, keep on moving on. You know, because what's in a man's heart, you're not going to be able to change it unless I permit it. And I'm not going to force these white people to give you nothing if in their heart they don't want it. Because all that's going to do is start. Okay, so I'm going to switch it around and then have them angry at us again, want to do the same thing again to somebody else like they've been doing since then. And then they can, you know, Shaitan is back on the goal of making the people who come from one soul fight each other to the death.
I don't see it I don't see it that way.
Yes, sir, no problem.
I don't see it that way.
No problem.
I understand that. And I respect your position.
We
don't have to paint. That's what I'm saying now. We don't have to paint the idea that someone who's fighting for reparations is going against what Allah says to do. That's what I'm feeling uncomfortable with. I'm not saying they're going against what Allah says to do.
No problem. We said both. I didn't.
I'm saying we can do both.
I did. I agree with you.
It don't have to be one way or another.
I said, I agree with you. You ain't heard what I said. I agree with you. 100%. But there's still a method. There's
that's
a way of going about
earlier, but okay.
Without letting Chase Todd still be the puppet master and have y'all doing everything that distracts you from reaching that goal of justice, freedom, equality. Huh?
Who's the y'all?
Oh, that's right now, that's almost every nationality on this planet, every color on this planet, except those who know that color don't have nothing to do with it, and all the other stuff that we've been dealing with don't have nothing to do with it if you are Allah's servant now. You have been free to live al-Islam and share al-Islam and then let the chips fall where they may. Because Allah said, I'm not going to coerce you. I'm not going to force any of y'all. They accept me as your creator. So I don't want you doing it to nobody else.
Here's again, you're giving the idea that if a person calls for reparations, he's going against what Allah says to do.
But,
that's what I have a problem with. No. It's me and you talking on the line right here, brother. Now, if you will say that's what Allah gave me, you're going to have to give me sites. You're going to have to give me Quranic sites or something to say that your way is what you're saying. But
no,
then you're talking like that.
It's not my way. That's what you still miss.
That's
I didn't agree
what?
With you. I didn't agree with what you said. It's got to be done at a balanced, careful, pure way of reaching this justice that we got to do. We can't go at it being angry. And we can't go at it being weak and wrongdoing and humble. And all. We have to stay balanced and let them. They have the same opportunity because they never read the Quran. I think everybody keeps forgetting how long what we call the white man has had the Quran in his or her hand, in this society's hand, and they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have the Torah. These people ain't dumb. They're doing what Satan has done to their heart, and it's interfering with their intelligence. And they strike it out. It's like we're fighting back in a very intelligent way. We are not the aggressor. We the reminder. All we have to do is deliver them in. We done it. Deliver. Say, you people know that you're wrong. If you feel like you don't want to help us get on our 2 feet, if we need it, then alhamdulillah, you go ahead on about your business, I go mine. But don't come over here interfering with me trying to establish al-Islam, a way of life for you and all of y'all, those of you who believe. And if you don't believe, no problem. But what we're saying is don't come over here and act like that you own us or we owe you something because we black, because we this, and because we that. And we've been buying into it to where we don't have no dignity. We don't have no respect for each other. We don't even think that we're worth anything. We're still fighting to be free. And we're already free, been free, ever since we was created, like you said.
That's our role. That's our role as Muslims.
But then we need to stick to it. We need to stick to our role.
No, who say we're not? And even with that, if in the political realm, we better be fighting, trying to erode the laws that protected us, it protected our rights. And they require some kind of civility. Now they're trying to erode those laws. So we can sit back and do nothing and say we got the Quran or Sunnah, right?
If you get advanced
we are. And but
resolve that problem, say it down.
Now it's time to put up a shut up.
Yeah,
to show the people
all we had to do next is the governor and mayor and other officers are getting ready to open for vote. We can band together now, and we got 2 years to make ourselves an independent persuasion in the United States government's way of life because that's all right according to the Constitution. But we don't want to come today to do that. We don't even want to have chill with each other. That's what we got to do,
brother. Muhammad, I got people on the line. I got to get to them, okay? Thank you very much, my brother. I got to play a PSA, and then I'll be right back, and we got some other people on the line that got to say something. Thank you, my brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis. advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
All right, let's go back to phone lines. We've got a caller, error code 334-419, 334-419. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, my friend. Hey, ma'am, how are you doing?
Doing good, sir.
I'm beginning to appreciate this process more and reminding myself and others remind me that Allah is over this process that we're dealing with. Rhetoric is not going to change it. A better understanding of what Almighty God Allah has put in us and the overlay of social conditioning that causes us or invites us to act in a way that's not in our best interest. And so I'm practicing sabr and asking Allah and looking for ways that my movement and my language can help the process be improved. We're coming up on a 50-year anniversary of Imam Muhammad's leadership, and I was in a meeting involved with how we're going to celebrate. And I was encouraged to hear voices that expressed the thinking and the perception that we don't want to have a feel-good meeting acknowledging Imam Muhammad. We want to have something that's going to help us advance those things that he left us with, the focus on community life establishment. And I'll stop with that.
That's good, but we're looking forward to that conversation and bringing some of that reality.
Yes, sir.
Inshallah.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you.
So about the phone lines, every code 321-917. 321-917.
Assalamu alaykum. Peace and blessings. The Lacey Huma of Melbourne, Florida. A couple of points I'd like to make concerning the reparation. One, the concept in our religious concept is allow certainly to expect to be paid for a debt that people owe you. Matter of fact, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, would question even the person dying, whether his debts were paid. That, before he was burning or praying on the body. So this obligation is an obligation on every individual to be recompensed for what's owed them. I guess, now the question arises, how can that happen in this diverse society that's been developed, where we have multiple ethnicities, well, now in families of African Americans, mixed people, mixed families, et cetera. And we were looking at, and some things that have been happening, as you mentioned in that definition, where the compensation have been given in various forms. And we had some discussions on, I think we did a program on it, on preparing to make it in the land of plenty, how we should be not taxed for a certain amount of time. We should have enterprise-free zones for our communities that have been destroyed. And that's just an example. And the thought can go on how we can look for compensation that can benefit us. You know, and in all fairness, the government, I was listening to Kamala Harris, for instance, giving every new family birth $6,000, $25,000 for a home purchase, et cetera. You know, but that's for everyone she's talking about. But we have special needs, and I agree, and we have a special injury that's been done, and I agree. But I think we got to give it more thought, and it should be a collective thinking process on how we can get compensation fairly and not address all the outlying issues of mixed communities. You know, I'm thinking about the Indians who went out to Oklahoma. They did a special on it where they actually had discovered oil, and the Europeans were assigned to oversee their distribution of their wealth. And they actually stole from them, married into them, took all the oil revenue, and this history.
No, it's true. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, that's the reality of it. And I'm listening to some of the things you're saying, especially in light of the Supreme Court's rulings and how they've made it discriminatory to target African Americans in any kind of benefit that excludes the rest of America. They say that's discriminatory, it's unconstitutional. So the will to do anything like that is gone, and the laws have been passed, are being passed to prohibit that from happening. Now, in light of what Brother Muhammad's saying, I mean, wouldn't it be, can you imagine if we get our act together as African Americans to the point, I mean, as a whole, to the point where we don't have the effects of those discriminatory type things, and we stand up to the world and say, we no longer need reparations. We forgive the past. The country has finally grown to the point where we can benefit from this American society. And stand up, wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a historical note? The African Americans have advanced so much, they no longer seek reparations. Now, the reality is, I don't see that happening anytime soon, anything like that. But every time they pass something, they're going to find a way to overturn it or work around it the same way they did with the American Indians. They'll do it to us too, unfortunately. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. This is a returning caller, but I'll get it on the way. Area code 334-419. 334-419. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Most of us are majoring in minors, and the social order and the social environment invites us to that, or to find escapism, you know. So working on the conditioning, we really receive reparations with what Imam Muhammad left us in terms of a responsibility for community life focus. We really, you know, when we look at all that he has left us, if we could just get, I think Malcolm Gladstone, I forget his name now. He's written several books, but he kind of spoke to the idea that we were given in a myth form of the degree of social dissatisfaction. You know, the Yaqub story. You know, in the Nation of Islam. Well, that story is insightful in terms of the need for what Allah says in the Quran, a band of people It doesn't have to be the majority, and God says it's not going to be the majority. Most of the people don't know. But there's going to be, and we have to work at it, you know, these kind of conversations that we're having and identify other strategies. And when I say identify, I mean asking Allah to help us to see what we need to do to bring about that band of people, a sufficient number, to change this social conditioning. We've got more education. We've got a $1-point-something trillion potential. The social conditioning that made a Negro to serve other people's interests and to go against our own best interests is something that we really need to see to work on. And the Quran is the medicine. The Quran has the attributes of God that point to what he put in us and so forth. And I thank you for you raising the issues. And I agree with your comment in terms of, you know, let's just turn away from this idea of getting reparations from a broke economy. The economy is pretty much broke. Because of the strength of it, it's juggling. But, you know, they can't afford to give us reparations. And if they gave it to us, we would give it right back to them based on the social conditioning that we've experienced.
Exactly. But let me say with that now, you spoke the reality, but I still don't think we should let them off the hook that easy.
Well, I think we need to reverse psychology and tell them that they need reparations. Thank you.
Get it or not. Yeah, I'm good. But whether we get it or not, we don't need to let them off the hook.
Okay.
That's my only thing. You follow me?
Well, I think.
All right, let's go. Oh.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Error code 213-925. 213-925. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Looking at Islam.
Yeah. You know, some. If I could come back a little later, right now I'm involved in something, brother. And
just press one, get out of the queue, and get back in the queue when you're ready, okay? Assalamu alaikum. All right. Let's go back to error code 636-980, 636-980. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Kareem Hamid calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. You know, the greater damage that was done to us, no one has possession of that to give it to us, to restore us. The greatest damage was done to our psyche, our mental conditioning that we were placed in, which leads to our sensitivities, our expressions, how we feel about a thing, our value systems were skewed. But I want to say that even on the continent of Africa, we are constantly saying we all need to unite. We all need to come together. Even prior to the coming of the Caucasian, the people on the continent of Africa were warring against each other. Tribal war was incessant. So we can't expect something to occur that didn't exist prior to the coming of the Caucasian. And we say he interrupted our life. But anyway, the greatest harm was done to us mentally. Professor Faroah Muhammad said, I come to resurrect the mentally dead. The mentally dead. And through an evolving evolutionary process, we were led to the prescription that heals the mentally dead in every area of our lives. The Quran is known as a shifa, a healing. Now, you know, when you're in a doctor's office and he or she diagnoses you and they give you a prescription, they don't walk behind you to make sure that you take that, you have the prescription filled, and you follow the prescribed regimen for applying that healing to yourself. That becomes your responsibility. So the prescription has been placed within our midst and given to us by a wonderful doctor, Imam Walid-ud-Din Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi. So the Quran, the life example of Prophet Muhammad, the Sunnah, the Hadith, all of that comes with Al-Islam is a healing. But the patient has to be willing to first recognize that he has a problem, that he's ill. And after realizing that, then submit, follow the prescription. That will restore us in the vital areas of our lives that we have been damaged.
I got a question. Now, I mean, I'm agreeing with what you're saying. And that takes us back to what Brother Michael was saying in the Quran, where Allah says, let that rise from you, a band of people. Kuntum kairun ukrizak linnas. Let that rise out of you, evolve. You're the best people, evolve for the benefit of mankind. Now, while we're trying to live that reality as Muslims, and right now we see some of the same injustices that were applied to us during those times as African Americans, are we supposed to stay back and be quiet, or are we supposed to say something? Are we supposed to, and while we're trying to develop this model community that we're working on, are we supposed to just be quiet and not say anything? And that's my only point. I don't see. I'm not. It has evolved into this way is wrong. This is the way. And pretty soon, while we're waiting on this way to evolve, and it's not evolving as quickly as it can, nothing has happened. So that's what I'm trying to determine.
Yes, sir. Imam Adam, you know, whenever there is an injustice, we're obligated to hate it with our hearts. We're obligated to, if we can, change it with our hands. And we're obligated to, well, according to the logical connections. Anyway, we won't have a discussion on that.
The heart is the weakest of means.
But to at least speak out against it. There is nothing wrong with speaking out when an injustice has been done. When an injustice has been done. Right. And
change
is what? Right. Now, let me say this. Let's look at the people that followed Musa. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. The prescription was given to Moses. But among the people that needed that help were those that were still influenced by the psychology of Egypt. The
right.
psychology of they missed that. They missed that. And that hindered the forward progress. Matter of fact, the generation that received the help was not able to actually implement it to its fullness. It was the generations that came after the help was given. So, you know, so we have the healing if we apply it. a band of people,
I understand.
Not everyone. Yes, sir.
But
and
brother,
also
brother
there
man.
Is a material brother reality. I'm not ignoring the material reality.
But
it takes money. It takes finance. It takes this dunya to establish the foundation that's needed that feed life. So we won't sit around.
I hate to cut you off, brother.
Yes, sir. I'll stop right there.
Behind you.
All right.
I got five.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
I'm going to get to him. Thank you, sir. I sound like you. All right, area code 810-936, 810-936. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. James Abdullah, Flint, Michigan.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I would just like to say that Allah is God, and He has power over all things. And the injustices that has been done to us, if we follow, Allah says in the Quran, He says right after the Al-Fatiha, He says, this is the book. In it is guidance sure, without doubt, for those who believe. If we believe and follow the prescription, as the brothers were saying, we will automatically, it's no doubt about it. The power, I look at how the world works today, the power structure, the wars that's going on. It's all about power, knowledge and power. And if the believer continue down the path that Allah has instructed us, we will eventually win through. And that's, I'll stop
no doubt
there.
No doubt. No doubt. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother. All right. Let's go back. I think Amin is back. Let's go back to Amin. 213-925, 213-925. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salam. Yeah, if I could lead our community or suggest to our community, I mean, two documentaries. One is All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. That's All Wars, A Banker's War. That's a beautiful documentary. It's only 40 minutes. Look it up. And then the other one is The Money Masters. Money Masters. It talks about Federal Reserve. So, you know, it's a sense of justice. We, you know, slavery has to be answered for as in a sense of justice. You know, a country like France is still holding Haiti accountable for, I think, the rebellion of Toussaint and the Overture, I think, and what, in 1800, I think it is, they are still demanding and getting reparations from Haiti because of that. And that was in 1800. You know what I mean? I don't really know. I don't have all the details. In fact, I'm going to look it up after a little later on. But they ain't forgot. They haven't forgot. So why should we forget and not insist upon justice for the 400 years of slavery?
The question I have is, it's all this conversation always comes up. When they say, well, if we follow the Quran and Sunnah and establish ourselves, which I agree, we don't have to worry about demanding for compensation. It's always pitting one group against the other. And I'm saying every time we fight a war, you talk about war, wars are fought on multiple fronts. Is that right?
Yes.
Wars are fought on multiple fronts. We get an argument on everybody think that the war should only be fought on their front. Allah says in the Quran, work ye in your places. Your place might be to establish the Muslim Ummah, to establish this Ummah that Allah is trying to bring about through the Quran in this country. And then there might be another place that somebody said, well, you work with the enemy to make sure they don't continue passing these unfavorable laws to set us further back. There's many areas that people can go to work at, but we want people to work all in the same area, and we start criticizing people that are working in other areas, which is ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
Yes, sir. All right, brother.
Fine, I get that.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway, try to get one more in, and then I'm
Yes, sir.
It'll be time to go. Thank you very much, brother. As-salamu alaykum. All right, let's go to area code 718-749, 718-749. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salam, Adam. Thank you so very much for taking my call. Yes, this conversation comes up all the time, and it will always come up because there was an injustice done. But the problem that we have with this conversation is that we try to apply religion to it, and it's not a religious religious problem. It's a political problem, and we have not addressed the issue to the government in the correct way. That day will come, and you're right. We should never give up on that because there was injustice done by the political system to us. And we haven't addressed it right. We haven't put the right words, and we haven't had somebody come and bring us together as a group to make it happen. But that time will come, and when it comes, then we will get it. But it has to be addressed to the political situation, not to the religious situation. Thank you, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you very much, brother. Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum. All right, we got 3 minutes left, so we might be able to get one more person in here. Let's go back. I think this will repeat over here. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum as-salam. Right quick, just say we know a balance sheet has zero on one side and all the gain that you have made by keeping that balance in check, you know, is your benefit, you know. Number two is that we have to remember, if I don't lose my thought, I lost that one. I just want to say that more important than anything, that the zero balance is a balance sheet, even though it's upside down in kind of way, according to how you look at it. But the benefit is that all the positivity is free now to go continue to grow in your benefit, so that if you have to spend on a negative connotation, you have it. But if you wait time, trying to balance out something that is made to be uneven in the first place. Because Allah said we have a natural inclination to stay out of the fire. So all we got to do now is just stay out of the fire. You know, leave what is already in the past, leave it to the past, and concentrate on the future like Allah did when he turned us away from that negative balance we had worshiping Jerusalem, the direction of Jerusalem, when he made us turn to our own Qibla of positivity that would get us to our destiny. Well, as long as we dwell or deal with the retribution of what the past done was, what Jerusalem was doing to people, then we're going to get stuck right there in the middle between the devil and the deep blue sea. Just want to say that.
That sounds like, thank you very much, brother. We're going to go get ready to get out the way. As I said, this is That'll be our money since we have Imam Yusuf Ramadan coming up next, and his discussion will be unpacking the debate. As-salamu alaykum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. May peace be unto you. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
We'd like to welcome everyone. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day Hosting of America. I'm hearing some echoing. The number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Youssef Ramadan, and it's the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So with the debate that we saw, the presidential debate that we saw on Tuesday evening, we are in full-blown campaign mode for the presidency of the United States of America. And I'm sure that at least a good portion of you probably tuned in and even saw parts of the debate or the whole thing, perhaps. And it's certainly the topic of discussion on any of our news shows, you know, who won the debate, et cetera. And I have a young man that I, he has a program, Politics and the Black Family, that he invited me on. And we were discussing the debate, you know, and what our impressions about it was, you know. So I get, this is some of what I shared with him. It seemed like there was a lot. I'm looking for it now. I didn't realize we were going back and forth, sharing so many different views. What I said to him, or what he said, he called it socialism, her plan. He called it socialism. He says the plan that she rolled out was socialism, that is Vice President Harris. And he said bailing out big banks is socialism, and providing this type of dependence on government is socialism. Don't let them untie her from Biden. Now, he's a Trump supporter. And I said, well, it is the Biden-Harris administration. You can't untie her from Biden. But what I said was it is socialism. For the elites and the bankers, and the people are on their own. They didn't send us, but they did send some during the pandemic. They sent some checks out, right? One or two checks that really weren't substantial to change your condition. That they sent out to average people, to Americans, but during the crisis of 2008, when the whole system was collapsing, they sent out trillions of dollars, mainly to businesses, you know. And so I explained to him, you know, you hear coming from the so-called right, I'm not really a big fan of these labels, left, right, you know, center, Republican, Democrat. What does it really mean when you unpack it? It doesn't mean much, you know. It means different things to different people. They just offer abortion to black people, like we're supposed to be thankful for being legally able to kill our children. And I said, don't forget the part about socialism for the rich, bailouts for the rich, and poor folks are on their own. The Republicans never talk about that. And he said, that's a fact. I said, I told them they bailed out the airlines so they could retain their employees. They took the money and still laid them off. But the CEOs got paid and even bonuses. Then when Obama called them to the White House, they ignored him. You remember Obama had a big meeting of all the bankers and the big corporate people, the insurance companies, et cetera, AIG and all of them. They came to first meeting. Obama gave them big money bailouts. And it wasn't that Obama was so special in doing that. It wasn't that if you were in the White House, or I was in the White House, you would say, you know, I don't think I'm going to do that. No, you would have done that. Everybody had to do it. He really didn't have no choice. And why was that? Because the banking system was collapsing. And that means that if you had gone to the ATM machine the next day, it would have told you it couldn't give you no money. The whole system would have shut down, okay? So Obama did what was responsible thing to do. He had to do what he had to do. But really the collapse started not under Obama, it started under Bush. And Bush, at the end of his term, he was putting together a plan to bail out the banks, bail out the big banks, you know. Obama admonished them. Obama admonished the CEOs of these big companies, Chase and Bank of America and others. Why would you get bonuses? Bonuses are given to certain people within companies that are doing well. Your company is failing, and the government has to bail you out. And while we're bailing you out, you still get the bonus? That don't seem right. You get the people's money, the taxpayers' money, and you're giving yourself a bonus with their money. Well, they ignored him, and most of them refused to even have a meeting to come to the White House. And that reiterates my point that a lot of people believe with this election, and that is the POTUS, that is the President of the United States, is not the most important, powerful man, or in this case, a woman in the world. Absolutely not. And during the debate former President Trump, he spoke on that. He said, you treated Biden like a dog, okay? You kicked him out like a dog. Well, the narrative, the Democratic narrative is, well, look how unselfish he is. He's so unselfish. He decided not to run. No, he decided not to run after you put pressure on him. Because if you remember, I'm old enough to remember him saying the only thing that can stop him is God. You all forgot that? I didn't. While they're on there heaping praise on him, which is nothing but PR, public relations, well, he did that. He's the most unselfish president since George Washington. It's nonsense. He could have said, as I told you before, as the president, he could have said, I don't care what the polls are saying that I'm going to lose to Trump. And I don't care what y'all are saying. I'm running. Now, he had that much power. He could have did. He could have ran. And what they told him was, feel free to run. But we're not going to give you a quarter. Not a quarter to run. And you need billions. So now you make up your mind what you're going to do. And he reevaluated. So they put pressure on him. Do you think that there's a man? Now, they gave $700 million, almost $1 billion to Vice President Harris to run. Do you think those people that provided her with the $700 million are under the impression that they're giving money to a person that's one day going to be their boss? You can't be that gullible. You cannot be that gullible. To those people, those billionaires and multimillionaires, think that they're giving money to make her their boss one day. They know that she can't get that position without their help. So they're not donors. They're investors. And she owes them. And, of course, 95% of all politicians, 99% of all politicians have in mind running for reelection. So if you cross us this time, then you'll get forced out next time. So you will do what we ask you to do when you're in power. You will if you want to stay in power and run for reelection. Now a lot of these things are very difficult for a lot of y'all that's listening to me to hear. I know it's difficult because they gave you what version of the American political scene, and that's just not the reality. That's just not the reality. Huh? It's just not. And they give us a Punch and Judy show. They give us a Punch and Judy show. Many of you, most of you are too young to know Punch and Judy. Punch and Judy is a puppet show. One of them is called Punch and the other one is called Judy. And they just fight, hit each other with sticks. But there's no fight going on. There's a puppet master that's underneath the stage and his head is inside of each puppet. So there's no real fight. It just looks like a fight. But the fight that we're having, that they're having, is which group of powerful elites is going to be in charge. That's what the fight is. So if you listen to them, now, one reason why they have a problem with former President Trump is because he's what you call a loose cannon. He's a loose cannon. You know, what is a loose cannon? On a ship, you know, the ship is going against the waves, and the cannon is sliding all over the deck, and the cannon might go off, so they don't know what that cannon might do. So the elites, they want to continue to fund. This is where we make our problem, and they brought it to Martin Luther King's attention. When Martin Luther King wrote his famous, I Have a Dream, his famous Why I Opposed the Vietnam War, they told him, Martin, you lost your mind. That's none of our business. That's foreign affairs. We're interested in civil rights in America. That's what the Negro should have his mind on. That's white folks' business. That's not our business. And we still have that frame of mind. Because whatever's going on foreign soil, is affecting us domestically and vice versa. They've given billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. Billions and billions and billions of dollars to Israel. They're fighting genocide. It's not a war, it's a genocide against innocent people, okay? And they don't care what your opinion is, or my, you hear me? I'm expressing strong opinions. Do you think they're going to say, we heard Imam Ramadan, we're going to stop doing that? I don't have no input on that, and neither do you. When I voted for, it don't matter who you vote for. They're going to run foreign policy as they see fit. So what they want to do, as the brother was saying, don't try to untie from Biden. The people on one hand will tell you, she's just the vice president. She's not the boss. Don't blame her for what he did. But at the same time, they say, well, give her credit for the things that he's doing that you consider to be good, whether it's keep the cost of medicine down, you know, for diabetes medicine, whether it's forgiving student loans, or the infrastructure, which he did. Those were some good things that he did, okay? They criticized him even during the debate of pulling out of Afghanistan, which four different presidents. We've been there for 20 years. So that's not bad. That's good. Unfortunately, people died. We lost Americans and other people. But you got to go out the same way you – they said, how can we get out? We got to figure a way to get out. You get out the same way you got in. When you went in, you lost people. So you were in somewhere for 20 years in a war zone. You think it's going to be a day at the beach getting out of there? No. So they're blaming him, saying that he could have done it differently. I don't know. But Allah says way with a scale that's just. So we just can't look at people, who's these leaders, and say, this one is all wrong or this one is all right. No. They do some things good. They do some things that we don't agree with. So we have to weigh with a scale that's just. We can't pretend that when they did, President Obama, he put in the Affordable Care Act. Well, it left a lot of people. It did leave a lot of people uncovered. But it also covered a lot of people that weren't covered. So you can't say that was, you know, he didn't do anything. That's not true. That's not weighing with a scale that's just. You see? And one of the analogies that President Obama used that was correct is that if you have an oil tanker, and it don't have to be an oil tanker, you could be driving, those of you who drive tractor trailer. If you're driving a tractor trailer and you realize that you missing your exit. You miss your exit. Do you attempt to slide over and try to get the exit and cause an accident? Or once you pass the exit, do you say, I'm making a U-turn? How the hell can you make a U-turn on a highway? That means you got to keep going, deliberately keep going in the wrong direction, in the direction that you know is wrong, until you can safely get to the next exit and get off safely and calmly and then turn around and go back in the other direction. So that's true. When you got a train or boat, a ship, or a truck that's large, it's been going in one direction for one period of time and building up a head of steam, you just can't stop on a dime and step on the brake. That's not the way life works. You can't do it that way, even if you want to go in the other direction. And President Obama wanted to go in other directions. He wanted to withhold some aid from Israel. He wanted to close Guantanamo Bay. He's not the most powerful man in the world, because he didn't do those things, did he? They didn't allow him to do it. And President Trump kept banging on your head day after day that he was going to build a wall. He didn't, did he? And also he told you he was going to get rid of Obamacare, didn't he? He didn't, did he? So stop letting these people frighten you. He's going to be a dictator on day one. He said so. You know you live in the United States of America, right? How's he going to be a dictator? Who's going to go along with what he's saying? You know they assassinate presidents in the United States of America too, right? Huh? So how's that going to happen? You keep on coming on here trying to scare me, and I'm not going to let you scare me. I'm not afraid, except I fear Allah and those of you who are Muslims. I'm talking to the Muslims. Allah says, fear me alone. Not Project 2025. But you don't know what they're planning. You don't know what the shaitan is planning. Men plan and men plot, and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of plans. I told it to you 20 times. But you'll still come on here and try to frighten me. But really, you're not frightening me. You're frightening yourself. Because you're not going to be successful in frightening me. There's no argument you can give me to make me fear anything but Allah. None. I'm sorry. I hate to bust your balloon, but that's not going to happen. Maybe you might be successful in frightening some other people. But with me, that's not going to work. I'm sorry. Okay? And I know you want my hair to be on fire. I know you want me to set my hair on fire because of what the public Republicans are plotting. But your head's not on fire for what the Democrats are plotting. Huh? They want us to believe that the number one issue that you have is abortion. They want to give you reproductive rights. You already have reproductive rights. As one sister said brilliantly the other day that I was reading, she said, you have reproductive rights. If you want to have a child, you can have it. The right that you want is to be able to terminate that pregnancy, not reproductive rights. You can already reproduce. There's no law stopping you from doing that. Now, do I disagree with their extremism? Absolutely. When they say under no conditions do they want you to be able to terminate the life, the pregnancy. I don't agree with that. Rape, incest, to save the life of the mother. That's ridiculous. I don't agree with that at all. And so even former President Trump has had to modulate his position on that because he knows that's a losing proposition for him. So you listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some important announcements for you, so please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
On the next episode of Community Buzz, we ask, have you heard? For another episode of Community Buzz, AM360's weekly magazine show, every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time,
only on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Don't miss it. Assalamu alaikum.
Since 1989, Saturna Capital has focused on the importance of sustainable business management.
Originally, Saturna began faith-based investing to meet client needs. They needed a financial product that wouldn't produce interest.
We thought that why can't we have something which is nationwide and people can, you know, pull their money in. And that's where I started exploring the idea of a mutual fund.
A mutual fund, incidentally, is a very Islamic concept. It's everybody puts your money in and you share in the results. So that's a very fair, very Islamic way to invest.
Biggest accomplishment I can think of and thankful to God will be that we are helping people to do the right things.
Founded on principles of integrity to clients and a commitment to low fees, over its 30 years of growth, Saturna has broadened its successful approach to faith-based investing to include a focus on sustainable metrics.
We think that the kind of rules with Islamic investing, social responsible investing, are really very close to the same thing.
We view investing as a business partnership. We're seeking to identify companies with whom we can partner, feel good about the way that they manage their business, the way they approach diversity amongst their executive suite and within their board of directors, the way they treat their employees, their communities, the environment.
To set an example, Saturna is eager to showcase how we practice ESG at home, focusing on employee wellness, community engagement, and environmental initiatives.
We translate these things every day from promoting philanthropy within our community and within our organization to establishing groundbreaking products that people have never seen before.
Saturna Capital is dedicated to industry leadership in values-based global investing.
We're back, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. And you do have a caller in the queue.
Okay. Take the call, please.
All right. We go to 706. One second here. 706-627. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Wa alaikum assalam. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Hinesville, Georgia. Just wanted to say, like, the question was, who won?
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. So this was my answer.
No. That was you asked us, and I'm trying to respond to it. In the beginning of
I didn't ask the question who won, but go ahead, feel free to get in the way and give your opinion.
Oh yeah. Yeah, okay. We won. The people in the United States of America, regardless of what they believe in or what level of belief they have in it, we won. Because we see now that the reality of the systems of knowledge that's been, by a lot of permission, used in America to run this country have reached to its lowest low, where men and women think they have the right to bury their children, like we already have experienced in the history of the Quran. We also know that they are thinking a man is a woman is a man, and they're doing all kind of organ transplants to try to prove it, and right on down with the murder and crime and all the other stuff, and corrupt, terrible, corrupt leadership of a country that's supposed to be qualifying itself to receive the Creator's blessing regardless of what they believe or who they call God. But they know that their God is supposed to be blessing America. We have a mercy from Allah by realizing that we have won that debate that was on the other night ago. And we have, and it was waking up from it to where we also see Shaitan was planning to give the wrong definition of independence, of what America also stands for. Mm-hmm. And they gave many people have tried to be an independent system alternative to the political world in the United States of America. Now let the Muslim try. Let the Quran and the life example problems of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam show the American people that you don't need to fear God regardless of what you believe is God. You don't need to fear the promise God has offered you kingdom of here on peace on earth, all of that freedom, justice, equality. You don't have to fear no more. Because we have now given the independence of this Constitution, us Muslims going to, inshallah, in a humble introduction, that we're going to give you a model community, highest rank, and let you see the success of a slave who was treated less than an animal by what you believe and especially what we believe as servants of Almighty God, of the one God, that we are now been free from what y'all talking about last night to go toward building this model community in America that will make all countries proud to be connected and gyrating toward the leadership like we used to show on the Muslim Journal where Imam Muhammad even used and was bold with his confidence that Allah's God had the American flag representing his stance of reaching across the river to unite the world back into the oneness of whatever they want. But it's going to have to be for the one soul that we all come from. It's got to be sincere. So we got two years now before the governor, the local leadership, has a chance to go before ratification in the reality that they live in. We got time to come together. Only ensure, because Allah said, come to common terms and go out and show that I'm God and that Muhammad is the best example of how human beings should act and treat each other. We got time to establish, like we heard from the mouth of Imam Muhammad in his last year when he was talking about shared space. Shared space is that dunya we heard when we first became Muslims. Our share to do. Do for self. All this language is coming clear now of what we got to do. We got to develop a leadership quality, go through all the paperwork that the Constitution says that we need to apply to be an independent run for the office of the President of the United States or the way of life in America is to be expressed. And you can learn from it or you don't. Those who want to vote, alhamdulillah. Those who want to vote, alhamdulillah. Those who want to vote against it, alhamdulillah. But you are now...
All right, thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. We got some other callers.
Yes, sir. Okay. I said I am only.
What is it? All right.
All right. Thank you, Muhammad. We now go to 727-408. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. You know, when Imam Ramadan, when he speaks about things, he's speaking from a knowledge base that he knows. And those who have been listening to him a long time, we should realize that. And also that we have to look at the fact that Allah has a carta. And we can't change Allah carta. So if something is not happening for us at a certain time, boom, we can't, what, we're going to curse Allah about it? We're going to get upset Allah? Are we going to upset our own self because Allah is not letting it happen? See, we got to realize that's the greatest reality right there, that Allah's in charge. And if it's not his counter, you just go ahead on and finish taking care of your business, what Allah had given you. There's no kind of way that such a thing that was done to our people that Allah would give us something small to help us out with. So if we're looking at just this money, we cheapening our relationship with Allah, because Allah doesn't work like that. His son is not like that. Allah's son is something big and Paul and big for those that have been oppressed. So we should be thanking Allah for whatever comes to our mind. My perception is on the fact that Allah rewards and he helps people out, but it's a big reward and it's a big help. So praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for you. We go to our next caller, 334.
419. Assalamu alaikum. State your name and where you're calling from.
Alaikum assalam. Michael Hameen, calling from Jacksonville, Florida. And thank you, ma'am, Ramadan, for raising this issue. They say the proof is in the pudding, and it's likewise in terms of following a direction for the betterment of our lives. And you know, God asks us, why do we say what we don't do? We have had, and we have in Imam Muhammad, a leadership that was responding to the issues involved in how we developed here in America and the kind of conditioning that caused us to support other people's issues and not our own. That's an unnatural development. And following the particular way of Democrat and Republican, conservative and liberal, we're very naive if we're not seeing the opportunity to have a more fulfilling expression of our government interests, and we're not responding to that. We're getting caught up in majoring in minors, in my opinion. So, you know, this experience happens every 4 years. But where are the people that are telling us to look for what kind of character do these individuals have that are running for office? What are their interests? And then being aware, as you have shared with us, of how the political system operates, that they are not the leaders. The leaders are those that invest money into them and invest, what do you call them, these advocates. There's a name for them.
Lobbyists.
Yes. We're not really plugged into how this system operates. When I lived in Birmingham, African-American political operative told an audience over the radio that in politics, it's money and organization. And if you ain't got money, you better be very well organized, you know. And these are the kind of things that are not really shared with us often. And I'll stop there.
Well, thank you very much.
And you have one other caller, Imam.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
All right.
Go to 225-200. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Oh, assalamu alaikum. This is Karam Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I just want to elaborate on what the brother was speaking on, saying about abortion. Here in Louisiana, I just remember when he was speaking of that, I just remember here in Louisiana, it was against the law to get an abortion. The only time you could get an abortion was during incest or either rape. That's the only time that you were able to get an abortion. Other than that, it was illegal. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you. All right, Imam, we have one other call, 251-404. State your name and where you're calling from, and assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Henry Hasid from Mobile, Alabama. Thing that came to mind there is when they first came up with this family planning, you know, it was dealing with the welfare system there that, and basically from what I saw, that it was basically for poor African-American or poor people there, and they called it family planning. And you had to go through that type of stuff to continue to get your welfare check or your whatever subsidy that the government was giving to you. But it was all dealing with trying to make sure that you did not have more children I guess is what they say that the government had to take care of. But I think it kind of backfired because it grew into these other things, because not only did African American not stop having children, we start having probably even more children. So the plan that it was put for didn't work, and then the people who wasn't having that many children start doing the family planning through these things called abortion and that type of stuff, and their population was even getting less because they took more advantage of it than other people did. So I think we have to see that there was a trap that I see that was laid for us as African American that backfired on them, and now that it's backfired, they are against it. But they wasn't against it when when it was affecting us. Same thing with AIDS and all the other things. As long as it affected African American, they had no concern. But when it started affecting them more than it did us, then all of a sudden it's a big problem. And that's the way I see that, because it wasn't good for African Americans, so it wasn't good for nobody. So I just wanted to add that. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Brother Henry.
Alhamdulillah. One other caller, Imam. Hold the line.
It's a hot topic,
Imam. You got your shoes on, right? Alhamdulillah. Let's go here. 213-925. Please state your name, where you're calling from. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Amin, Sister Claire Muhammad, STEMschool.com. Sister Claire Muhammad, STEMschool.com. As far as what I saw, Kamala Harris, she came off. Can you hear me? She came off very structured, very organized. You could see and hear her years of being a public servant, serving the public interest.
Right.
I think he lost the election when he accused the immigrants coming over for eating those animals, I'll say when he said that, I think he lost 25% logical thinking people, you know what I mean, and all that other stuff that he's accused of, the groping and the just bad character things, all came to bear when he had to sink, and he had to reach for something crazy, saying that those immigrants are eating those animals. I think he lost it right there. I leave it right there. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum. Thank you. Yeah, that was a bit extreme. That was pretty cool. But,
thank you.
I mean, we have heard other people. Look, to be honest, we've heard in the African-American community, they said that for years. And I know I'm not the only one that heard it, that the Chinese restaurants were cooking cats. Right, and dogs. Am I the only one that ever heard that? I don't think so. So I mean, what one person did, if it was even done, even they're saying it wasn't true, but that shouldn't reflect on the whole, on a whole group of people. This is what I said to the brother who had invited me on his show, Brother Raphael, that's listed too. I said, who won? Two ways to evaluate the debate. One is a horse race on the other horse race level. Who looked better, more presidential, and who scored political points? And two, whose positions really addressed the critical issues facing America and the world? Vice President Harris looked more like a conventional candidate for POTUS, which isn't hard to do, versus a loose cannon like Trump, who's anything but conventional. His attacks on the immigration policy of the administration she's a partner in was on point and damaging, except when he went off the rails talking about immigrants eating dogs. He was equally affected with criticism of the economy. His major blow, in my opinion, was accusing Biden-Harris of putting us in danger of World War III against a nuclear-armed Russia and Ukraine. And you can't get away from that. You cannot get away from that. That was a very, very major point that he made, because they keep arming the Ukrainians to fight Russia. And you can't, if I'm having a battle with somebody and you hand them a stick to hit me with, you my enemy too. So you have to be, we have to be very careful. You know, she is pushing that globalist viewpoint, that neocon viewpoint, and she frames it in ways that, well, we're fighting for the democracy of the Ukrainian people. The only way you can come to that conclusion, if you don't know the history of Ukraine, that the United States helped to overthrow a democratically elected president. That's a fact. Now, they argue about that, you know, and they tell us that the Russians and the Chinese are interfering in our election. That's known American foreign policy, that we interfere in Venezuela. You name it. You name it. We interfere in elections as part of our foreign policy. So if, how are people interfering in our elections? Tell me how they interfere. By coming on Facebook or coming on social media and putting forth ideas that you claim is divisive. So what? Whatever happened to free speech in America? The way that you stop people from interfering in your election is by countering their argument. What if an American had the same argument that a Russian had? It's a ridiculous charge that they're interfering in our election. Do you know that in America we have an institution called Voice of America that pumps radio, especially during the Cold War, pumps radio programs into other countries to give our point of view? What's wrong with that? Let people talk. Are you saying that the American people are so naive and so gullible that if they hear something from somebody else, that's going to destroy our country? Well, you don't have very much of a strong country. But see, I'm old enough to remember, and a lot of y'all may not be that old enough to remember. In the 50s and 60s, they used to have air raid sirens. I'm talking about in the schools for little children. And they would make you stick your head underneath the desk. See, I'm talking about people trying to frighten you. Now, if there's a nuclear attack, what you going to say? Your child was safe because his head was under the desk. It's ridiculous. You understand? But that's the same thing that they're pushing today. The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. Same thing that they're pushing. Fear. They try to make everybody afraid. And I know I'm not the only one on this call that remember them telling us to stick. Why would they tell children to stick their head under the desk? Because a nuclear bomb is coming, other than to frighten you out of your wits, out of your mind. So you listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some more important announcements for you, so don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
All right, and when we return, Imam, you have a new caller. Thank you, dear listeners, right, for being here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Nikhil Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi. asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And thank you. And we're back, Iman.
All right, so we have another caller.
Yes, sir. Here we go. 646-245. Please state your name and where you're calling from, and assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. This is Farida speaking. In the last 2 weeks, Trump did admit to interfering in the election during the interview when he said he had the right to do so. He also admitted two more times that he lost the election in the last 2 weeks. So, and then we have to look at how did he do that, because as with his statement that I read about the bureaucrats and him ending up agreeing with the bureaucrats, we have to also ask what did he agree with the bureaucrats in telling us where to pray, and how is that going to affect the Muslim community? Saying that the parents in raising their children with a negative spider language, and then turning around and saying that bureaucrats know how to raise children, we have to look at that. What is his plan with that? And with that alone, saying that bureaucrats know how to raise their children, that's communism. That's when the government takes our children away from parents, I'm talking about, and raises the children. So we have to look at that and then ask ourselves why they suddenly want to force people to have children with the degree of not even permitting contraceptives. Because if you don't permit contraceptives and you're going to force people to have children, then you even have to look at husbands and wives who know that if they're not ready to have a child right now or in a few years, then that's a few years that they cannot have sex, because they cannot take a chance on getting pregnant. Because if they do, they're going to, you know, I mean, not even contraceptives. So, and this is what they promised to go after also. This is what they're trying to go after also. So let's look at what his saying that he had the right to interfere in the election. Let's look at how he did it, okay? There were bombs placed, and remember he kept saying this is the love before the storm? Well, the storm was There were bombs. It not only the attack on the Capitol, but bombs were placed in both headquarters, meaning that the interference in our election dealt with the destruction of both parties, which is our country. And if he was any semblance of successful, because all he had to do when once he saw that they were going after, they were looking for people to kill, including his own vice president, who he obviously was allowing to happen. Thank Allah they didn't find him, but he was obviously allowing his VP because he disagreed with him, which is fascism, dictatorship, and communism by itself. So, and while that the one who is actually practicing communism, the one who actually armed his mega people who are going against and then is targeting our own people, another a party for them to go after, alone is Marxism, is fascism, is dictatorship and communism, because we have the right to our own opinion. So anytime you're going to arm somebody to kill somebody, to threaten somebody just because of their own opinion, that is proof. I don't know what more this man has to do to prove that he's racist and to prove that he is the one who's communist, who is the one who is accusing the other side of being communist.
All right, thank
so,
you.
So, I
thank
mean,
you,
thank okay,
you.
You're
we
welcome.
Have to go. Thank you,
okay.
Appreciate it. All right.
All right.
Sister Martha, any other callers?
No other callers.
Okay. All right, very good. So, we want everybody to get an opportunity to express their opinion. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion and their own analysis of the situation, you know. And that's what the imam taught us is America is shared freedom space, shared freedom space, you know. You are
excuse me, ma'am. I apologize. One return, 225-200.
Okay.
All right. As-salamu alaykum, just sister.
As-salamu alaykum, Sister Karam Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. When the brother mentioned children, I just have to say this because I was talking to a young man yesterday, and he's in high school. He said that they sat in class and they smoked marijuana in the classroom. And sometimes even the teacher lights up a joint in the classroom. And then he said that, I said, what about the principal teacher? He said, they be in it too. He said the teacher have a special room for those that want to go and smoke, and go up in that room and smoke. And then he said the principal and all of them, they get together. I guess they have that little lounging room. He didn't know. And they go up in there and they do that. I said, this is another trick of Satan. They is telling us we talking about this and that, and here it is. Look what they doing to our. We need to check to see what's going on in our schools. And then they said that he said that they got children outside, got guys outside, and the police be out there too, and they be walking around with these guns, these AK-7 guns, whatever they call them, out there in the guns. And I said, are you serious? And I say, you shouldn't even be going to that school. So
yes.
We need to check and find out what's going on with our children in school. That's one thing. I'm not taking away from this subject too, but we need to add that on. Something is going on because that means that our children is not learning. And I asked him, I said, well, what are you learning in class? Are you learning anything? And he said, no, they don't. And he in high school. And this boy got straight A, smart as I don't know what, smart as a whip. You know, y'all know y'all children. We got grandchildren that's so smart and kids that's so. He's one of them. I'm telling you. So we need to
add that on to the list, too, about our children check and go check out their school. And then, and I'm asking when the last time they had a PTA meeting. That's all I have to say about that. Alhamdulillah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're getting close to the time. Any other callers?
No, sir. No other callers in the queue. Alhamdulillah.
All right. Maybe you would like to give us your own views on this subject.
I'll say it this way. Thank you, Imam. It is becoming more and more evident that we, along with everything else, not get so flustered, but stay close to the ground. And I mean where we are, but look at those policies and procedures and join the groups that are doing that, because you have think tanks that are studying things to make a difference, an impactful difference. But we are 50 states strong. We're not just where we are, but we definitely have – I live in Florida, so I'm speaking – personally about Florida, everyone. So I'm investing my time into that. So that's all I'll say about that, Imam. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, we got an opportunity to hear various viewpoints, and, you know, that's what the Imam called shared freedom space. You know, we have a shared freedom space. So, we have an opportunity at least to express ourselves. You know, one of the freedoms that we do have in America is, to a certain extent, of course, free speech. There's certain things that you can't say, of course, certain things you shouldn't say, and if you do say them, you're going to face consequences. We know that. But I've been in Muslim countries where you have less freedom to speak out than you do here in America. You know. I've been in Turkey where they send the kutbah out, the Friday kutbah out by fax, and all of the imams have to get the same kutbah. Now, that's terrible. That's horrible. You know what I mean? So while we do have that, yeah, they are trying to curtail our freedom of speech by saying, oh, that's hate speech. You can't talk about this. You can't talk about Israel. You know, you can't talk about this subject. So there's people that are working on doing different things. But as long as we remain vigilant and committed to our freedom, you know, freedom is something that you have to work for. You know, freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. So we thank everybody for listening to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan. We pray that you have a blessed Jummah tomorrow and that you keep yourself and your family healthy and happy and safe. So until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. And apologies to our dear brother Muhammad. It was too close to the time for checkout for our imam, respectfully, for the time in this presentation hour. Thank you, Imam Yusuf Ramadan, and all of our presenters this morning, starting out with critical issues with Imam Henry Hasib and his recurring guest, Mark Shaheed, and then Imam Adam Diya, and now finally with Imam Yusuf Ramadan. This has been a Thursday presentation. Please plan to be with us today at 3 p.m. for CARE on Air, Council on American Islamic Relations. That's at 3 p.m. And then we follow that, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Michael Hameen with Not Just Talk. You want to return and you want to share your whatever the process that Michael presents, please be present, all right? Thank Allah for everyone and Muslim Journal. Everyone, for those who are understanding a time to be grateful, December 19th through the 22nd. If you have not gotten your ad, gotten your subscription, or become a sponsor, please, please, please go to masjidalansar.org. Masjid, that's M-A-S-J-I-D. ALANSAR.ORG. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. We're going to end up, inshallah, with a musical here. Praise be to Allah for this morning's discussion. We love it, love it, love it. And we're just going to go directly to thankful. We've got to be thankful.
Dad's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls can keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, and off to work I go. But I gotta be all right,
gotta be all right,
do the best that I can. Try and make a difference, 'cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man, but life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, "Mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful, they gotta be grateful for the lives and all the things he's given them that make their life their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. Thank you.
delight for the warm rays of sunshine. Longer like the night, friends are lost forever and their children and their wives. City gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
They gotta be thankful.
They gotta be grateful
for